Well, can you hear me? Well, I shouldn't be proud, but I'm a little proud because I wrote these hymns. But it's not a matter of being proud. Before the Labor Day conference, of course, I knew that I was not coming. I have to go to Chicago, my heart, my soul, my burden is really with Northern California, and so is my burden on this matter of Jubilee. By the way, I heard that you're going to start to digest these four messages, starting like this week. 24. Well, may I make another pitch? Lead the saints into the Jubilee.
Yeah.
Don't just treat this as a digestion. We're going to do a review. That's the standard traditional thing we do. That's not good enough. I mean, that won't cut it. You, brothers, you have to get into this Jubilee.
Yeah.
I mean, amen? I mean, the first message is the age of Jubilee, of course, with the illustration in Luke 15, right? But the point is the age. The age. Jubilee is not just a year, that's in the typology, but in fulfillment, it's an age. And that is the present age we're in, the age of grace. Since the Lord's coming the first time, and proclaiming or revealing that this scripture, which is the scripture of Isaiah 61, today is now fulfilled in your midst. That means Jubilee is here in the person of Jesus Christ. And so he turned over the page and began a new age. And that is the New Testament. But really speaking, brothers, you have to realize the Jubilee does not end with the end of this age. You know, this age will come to an end sometime soon, I hope. But I will tell you, there's another age coming called the age of the kingdom. I tell you, that will be the real Jubilee. Of course, in eternity, in New Jerusalem, it will be Jubilee for eternity. But the next age, even Israel, will finally enjoy the real fulfillment of Jubilee because they will receive their Messiah, right? The one whom they rejected once, forcing the Lord to turn to the Gentiles. But in the Lord's second coming, there will be Jubilee proclaimed again, and Israel will be saved. Israel will be released, right? Israel will come back to Christ, their Messiah. So it's an age that will, when the Lord blew the trumpet in Luke 4, and this trumpet sound will last through eternity. And so, really speaking, brothers, the church life is actually Jubilee life. The church life is actually one big Jubilee. But I'm sorry to say that over time, our Jubilee or jubilant church life has degraded into something less than Jubilee, less than jubilant. And so from time to time, we need to blow that trumpet. Amen. Just like in the typology, every 50 years, we lost it, you know. We had the property that we own. We were not in bondage. We were all free men. And we were with our family. But somehow over time, even with us, in the New Testament age, the believers, even for us, in the church life, in the Lord's recovery. In practicality, we lost the Jubilee. Somehow we sold our possession. We lost our possession. That means, you know what is that possession? That possession is the allotted portion of the land. Amen. It's called in Colossians, what? The portion of the saints in the light. Which portion is simply the all-inclusive and all-extensive Christ?
Amen.
And even in the church life, we could lose that Christ after a while. We have a shell of a church life, but we lost its reality, and that is Christ, or the top enjoyment, or the ecstatic enjoyment of this Christ. And so we lost our joy, we lost our enjoyment of this divine inheritance, of this divine possession that was ours, that is ours. But in name we still have it, but in actuality we somewhat lost it. At the same time, we even, as Christians, as believers in the recovery, we may have gone into also a certain kind of bondage, again, of slavery. And in chapter 2, right? In message 2, is that right? It talks about the three kinds of labor. Brotherly talk about the vanity, of a life without God, apart from Christ. You know, that is Ephesians 2. And in that kind of a life, when a man lost his possession, a man lost his wealth, he is forced into labor. He has to become a slave, like that prodigal son. You know, the illustration of Jubilee is that prodigal. When he had a uber-rich father, but now he finds himself famished, in famine, with nothing to eat. And he had to even sell himself to be a hog feeder. And not just a hog feeder, but eating the food of the hogs, when he should be enjoying the top kind of food in his father's house. Now he has to eat what the hogs would eat, what the swine would eat. It was at that time, that he came to his senses and said, what am I doing here? In my father's house is all these riches for me. Now I'm here doing this. And that's when he decided to go back. So he was in slavery, and the three kind of bondage, labor that this present day slavery would give man is, number one, the labor of trying to be good. I think a lot of saints are trying to be good, trying to be perfect, trying to be a good brother, trying to make it. That striving actually reveals you're in labor. The mindset may be good, but I tell you, the way is entirely wrong. He didn't know that the Father has no purpose for him to do something for him. The Father just wanted to give this son all that he had for his enjoyment. Then the other second labor that man comes under is what? Is anxiety. You know, brotherly talk in Philippians 4 about the whole world today is driven by anxiety. Without anxiety, this world is not running. This world doesn't move at all. Anxious for livelihood, anxious for accomplishment, anxious for livelihood. Am I right? Anxious about yourself, anxious about your house, anxious about your job, anxious about your children, anxious about everything. And that anxiety becomes the human bondage. The human bondage. And then the third one is what? The labor of suffering. how man today is in all manners of suffering. And that suffering enslaves him. Enslaves him. And so you see here that kind of slavery is even over us, the saints, the Christians. You see? And so there's no joy there. There's just a scowl on the face. There's only a frown on the brow. There is a perpetual depression that we have. There's no sense of happiness, of liberty, of soaring. You know what I mean? Of freedom, because of these internal bondages. And there could be the bondage of the world. The world. A lot of saints are in the bondage of the world. The world is binding them and not letting them go. That means Pharaoh. They went back to Egypt. And those who are bound by sin, certain kind of besetting sin that they couldn't get released from, they're under that bondage. And so, I tell you, even ourselves, the brothers and sisters, the saints, we need what? We need liberty. Amen. We need the proclamation of Jubilee. Amen. Once again, you know, I think some who came to the church life in the 60s and 70s, they got into Jubilee. But after 40, 50 years, now they need another Jubilee. Amen. Because they've lost their possession. Some even left the church life. I mean, can you imagine what they lost? They lost the third thing. That is, they lost their family. They lost the household. They lost their home. So now, in this Jubilee, they also get to return back to be with their family again. Can you imagine the happiness of a person who heard that trumpet blast, who have lost everything, and who are enslaved, that when that horn blows, I'm returned back to my possession. It doesn't say the possession is returned to him. It says he is returned back to his possession. You know what that means? That means God never left us. We left God. Now we're being returned back to God, back to Christ, the embodiment of God, as our good land, as our allotment of the good land. And we will be free again from all these earthly things, these sinful things, worldly things that enslaves us. All manners of bondage. All manners of bondage. And then, finally, to really come home again to the real family of God, the real church life. So, brothers, don't just review the 4 weeks. May I charge you, don't just tell the saints, we're announcement tomorrow. Saints, we're going to review what we cover in Labor Day, 4 fine messages, lest we forget about them. We're going to review them for the next 4 weeks. You know. It's another burden, you know. The burden to review the Jubilee. You're wrong. Whoever tomorrow give the announcement of the Jubilee, I will tell you, I give you a command. You must be ecstatic. Otherwise, get out of here. We don't need you to give us the Jubilee burden. We need you to lead us into the Jubilee joy. All right? Okay? So if you have a long face, get out of here. Let someone else do the announcement. The one who do the announcement should sing the announcement. Yeah. You should sing it. You should sing one of this. I tell you, your singing will impress the saints. I heard in one of your meetings, 20 brothers got up on the stage or something like that, spontaneously, right? That should not be an abnormality. or an exception. That should be the case all the time. No form, no formality, no bondage. We're really free. Of course, I don't mean free in a loose way, but genuinely free in the Spirit. Am I right? Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, there is genuine liberation. It's from within. It's you don't perform liberty, right? It comes from within when you are that free person. So okay, so the next 4 weeks is not about review. The next 4 weeks is about return.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we're returning.
Amen.
We're coming back to God.
Amen.
I mean, get into the enjoyment. So stir the saints up every day, every morning. Get up early and enjoy the Jubilee.
Amen.
Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord in a jubilant way.
Amen.
Pray reading the word. Pray read it in an ecstatic way. And stir the saints up, basically, that's what I'm saying. I don't know, were you stirred up at Labor Day? Or you just got a good Jubilee message, huh? But I don't think you're stirred up enough. I look at you right now. You're not that exciting. Not that excited. Well behaved, but not so much in the reality of Jubilee. No, you're not. I was in Chicago. I really got into this matter of joy. Because Jubilee, jubilant, jubilation, you know, it's not just joy. It's ecstatic joy. It's ecstasy. It's rapturous joy. That caused dancing and singing and praising and that kind of a thing. Not just, you know, just a faint smile on your face. No, that's not Jubilee. No, it's not Jubilee. I mean it. I really mean it. So I am into singing. I like to turn Northern California into one singing church. How about that? The church in Northern California is a singing church.
Amen.
That means it's a Jubilee church.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Please do not go to the meeting and just grind it down and grind it away. And I told the brothers, please don't come to the meeting with a game face on. You know, when you're out there, praise the Lord, brother. Oh, once you enter the room, oh, it's meeting time. Put on the game face. That means you don't smile. You're supposed to be serious and spiritual. I told the saints, be serious. You know, we're serious people. But don't be somber. Somber. Somber means someone died. Be serious. Let me ask you, when David danced, you know, David danced in front of the ark, was he serious? He's more than serious. But he was not serious in that kind of somber way. That's a concept. He was dancing. I mean, you don't dance unless you're really serious. You understand what I mean? You're really into it. You lose your face. You don't care what people think about it. You're really in it. That's true seriousness. So, brothers, I feel... I hope it's just not a Labor Day conference. I hope the churches will really re-enter into the Jubilee church life.
Amen.
Really, starting with us. I know I'm spending time talking about this, you know. If I may say so, use these songs. These are fresh off the press. They're not old songs. They're brand new songs. So I come back. So the week before Labor Day, just a week. And I just felt the pressure. Man, you're not going to San Francisco or wherever. You're going to Northern California for the conference. You at least should contribute something. And I think long time ago, Don Mango remind me, Brother Minow, you said you're going to write something on Jubilee. Oh, I tell you, the sweat start coming. And 1 week before, I feel very, very obligated, responsible, terrible, pressured, that what is my portion to offer for that conference in absentia? You know, I'm not going to be here. So within 1 week, I wrote these three songs. In fact, I wrote the last one in 24 hours. Even the barber was cutting my hair. I still remember I was inside writing this song. I was doing my haircut. So here it is. And I have a couple of helpers to immediately help me to polish these songs. So within 1 week, I have three songs. But I only send two to you because the last one was not finally polished. And I took the same three songs to Chicago. And let me tell you, Chicago, that weekend, I think they might have forgotten everything. They didn't forget these three songs. Okay? May I charge you all the churches these next 4 weeks that sing these songs? Maybe every week, besides morning revival, this and verses, how about every week, one song. Amen. And the last week, all three songs.
Amen.
And the prayer meeting, you sing that song. At the Lord's table, you sing that song. At the prophesying time, obviously, you sing that song. And in the small group, you sing that song. You sing until everybody is out of themselves,
Amen.
Until everyone is in Christ,
Amen.
And in the Spirit, Amen. And in Jubilee. Brothers, this is what we need. Now, this year, 2018, is the 49th year. You know, the year when you blow the trumpet. The 49th year from 1969. You say, what's so important about 1969? Let me tell you, that year is a milestone year in the Lord's recovery in this country. That was the year when the revival in Eldon Hall hit its peak. And I quote Brother Lee on that one. He said the peak was 1969. And I remember that year. You know why? Because that's the year I moved to Eldon Hall from Oregon. In February of that year, I moved from Oregon to jump into the Jubilee church life in February. And that year is just one of those memorable year that one would never forget. And that was the year that Brother Lee spoke on the sevenfold intensified spirit for the first time. Not coincidentally. It is really the Lord's timing. You know, the sevenfold intensified spirit. That just ushered in, and other, of course, speaking of the ministry, and actually the work of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit in a particular way in those days, just, I don't know what to say, transported the church life into a different realm. Into a different realm. I would say the realm of, really, the realm of Jubilee. And that was also the time at the eve of the Great Migration. You know, the Great Migration started in 1970. Actually, it started in 69. The two migrations, one to Houston. You know, the saints, they gather from various small churches in Texas and to move to Houston. The other one is a migration from these saints who were newly gained from Yorba Linda. They migrated to Seattle. But 1970 was the floodgate open. It was the grand migration to all the major cities. And thus began a time of prevailing proclamation of the gospel that we have and in reaping of the seekers and the people from all over this country, so that within a few years, our numbers just, there's a 10x increase, you know. So our increase, rate of increase from 1962 with 30 saints all the way to 1973, 74 or thereabouts in LA Convention Center was 3,000 saints plus. If you use that rate of increase in 12 years' time, it translates into 50% annual increase compounded. It's not 15% interest only, okay? This is what? This is 50% compounded interest from 30 people to 3,000 people in a mere 12 years. Brothers and sisters, we've never seen the likes of that ever again in this country. Never again. And sorry to say, it was right at that time, some ambitious ones, some fleshly ones, came into the recovery with the agenda or the intention to take over the recovery to accomplish their goals and ambition. That was the time. So by 1974, these people start to come in. By 1975, 76, that revival has already waned, huh? And then, sorry to say, in 1977 and 78, the first major rebellion erupted. And after the eruption of that rebellion, hundreds of new ones that were gained in the 60s and 70s era left the church life, swept away. And at the same time also, the attack from Christianity began in a ferocious manner, in a frontal manner. With the two things combined, the recovery in this country was brought into quickly to a halt. And also, that would be the end of a certain jubilee season. And we enter into a state of dormant situation. And this continued in the 80s and so on. Now, today I'm not here to talk about history. If you want to hear more about this kind of a talk, which here and there I also talk to you about, you can go to these messages in Chicago. You just go to churchinchicago.org. I think churchinchicago.org. You can find the audio files of those of the fellowship there. Okay, brothers, just quickly, this is the 49th year, counting from 1969. So this has particular meaning to me, and especially to those of us who came in during that season. And so there's just this kind of a burden, a feeling, a conviction, and sensation within. Certainly there's that kind of prayer and hope and anticipation that, Lord, there needs to be another blowing of the trumpet. Amen. There needs to be another season, the 50th year, for another round, for another new season to come upon the Lord's recovery, and a new season of jubilee. And so I think it is quite timely that in this Labor Day, praise the Lord, let's change that word labor, right? On that Jubilee Day, that we have these messages. But let's not just let it be messages. Brothers, let us blow the trumpet.
Amen.
Let us blow the trumpet. And bring the saints, into the living of this Jubilee. The church life should be a church life that's simply living the Jubilee life.
Amen.
Right? A life of ecstatic enjoyment of Christ and in a simple way and a life released from the bondage of the law of sin and death. Am I right? In that kind of captivity labor or oppression, and also a life of really enjoying the church as God's family, as the God's household, so that the church life is not a burden. The church life is not something heavy. The church life is just this lovely place, home in the church. So use these next 4 weeks. Amen?
Amen.
And bring the church into this. Okay?
Amen.
Will you do it?
Amen.
Okay, tomorrow the announcement, okay? Anyone who has a long face, tell them to sit down. Just tell them to sit down. You have no right to make this as... If you're not jubilant, you have no right to talk about Jubilee. All right? All right, John? At least he's trying to smile a little bit. He is typical game face. And this game face has become culture. And even the saints pick that up. So even the saints, when they come in, they look unhappy, as if that's true spirituality. So I better stop my speaking. I'm wasting your time. So yesterday I told the brothers, a brother stood up in Chicago. He also, after years of leaving the church life, came back to the church life. And he remembered me. I didn't remember him. He talked about this research in some university with goat. You know, a goat, and that they found out even the goat can understand emotions, human emotions, like dogs. You know, dogs we know, but goats. You don't think a goat would understand human emotion. So they put two pictures on the wall, okay, with the same person, a woman. One with a scowl face, the other with a happy smile. And the goat every time would go to the smiley face and nudge it with the nose, you know, showing that even goats don't want to hang with unhappy people. Even goats don't want to do that. Forget about human beings. You know, one reason why the church life is not gaining people and not that attractive is we have become an unhappy bunch. Very serious, a lot of truth. Every saint who opened their mouth, wow, wonderful Bible come out. But no one wants to be with you. The problem is not the truth that we have. We have the best truth, don't we? We have the highest gospel. We have what the world needs. Exactly. Who can interpret Jubilee like we can? I mean, if you give a message to people today about this Jubilee, everyone wants this. No? No? I mean, what did Jim tell us? The misery index has never been that high since that index was invented. You follow me? I mean, that means people today, right now, are the most depressed ever in America. You just turn on the news. If you want to get depressed, just turn on the TV. You'll be quickly depressed. In fact, that's one reason why you should turn off the news. You'll be less likely to be depressed. Okay? I call that fake news. Turn on the heavenly television.
Amen.
And watch the real news. Amen. The real news is Jubilee.
Amen.
And everyone wants this. Everyone wants this. But brothers, if we are not happy people, if we're not living the Jubilee life, They may even hear it and not want to be, want to come here because you don't look happy. You talk about that, but I don't see it. I don't see it. You just have a game face on, John, right? Okay, Morgan Hill should not be a scowly place. Morgan Hill should not be a morose church. Morgan Hill should not be a depressed community. Okay, Morgan Hill should be what?
Jubilant.
And you have to start to be the jubilant guy. I mean, so tomorrow I'm very concerned Morgan Hill, he will give the announcement. And before he gives the announcement, the saints are still relatively undepressed. After he gives the announcement, everyone is depressed. I seen it. Not just him, I seen it. I almost want to tell the brothers, please sit down. You're depressing everybody. Giving a very proper announcement, very clear, very articulate, but nobody gets excited about it. Why? Because the habit. I would say habit. Okay, now, since I'm on this line, I know there are lots of burden, lots of things and things like this. I like to really labor on this a little bit more because you may think this is like I'm making jokes, I'm here making you laugh and maybe make you happy. Maybe I'm doing that, but brothers, I tell you, this is very big matter. Very big matter. You know the three parables in Luke 15, which is really a set on the triune God, the Son as the shepherd, right? You know that. And the Spirit as the woman, right? And then the Father as the Father. Those three parables. One is seeking, they're all about seeking the lost. First one is a sheep, the second is a coin, and the third one is the son, you know, the prodigal. And in each one of them, after the sheep was found, or after the coin was found, or after the prodigal returned, a very special thing that in each of these parables is that the shepherd, it says he was what? He was happy. You know? No, it says that. Let me see here. It says, he says what? And after he got found the lost, the one of the 100 sheep, the 99, all that. So he put it on his shoulders and rejoicing. And then and when he comes back to his house, he calls his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost. I was thinking, you got 99. You just found one. Well, what's the big deal? You can lose a few more and it'll be okay. You know, you got still 95, you know, or 90. You lost 10. So that's a 10% loss. That's nothing. They're going to have babies soon, so it's... But this man came back, just found one that was lost. Ooh, he said, rejoice with me. He threw a party right away and said, I found my sheep that was lost. Oh, he said, then the Lord say, I tell you in the same way there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner repenting than over 99 righteous persons. You know, he was talking because he was talking to the Pharisees, who couldn't take it that the Lord spent so much time with the sinners. But the point is the joy. Now this morning, I'm here hitting my burden. There is a particular joy of Jubilee. And that joy is not just your returning to your possession, your being released from captivity, or your coming back to your home. You know what that joy is? That joy is when you blow that trumpet and you see someone else enjoying all those three things. Now, I would like to submit that that joy may even be greater than yourself enjoying the Jubilee. That means to bring someone else into that Jubilee. Here, it doesn't talk about the sheep was jumping up and down. The sheep was just on the shoulder. But it's the shepherd jumping up and down and threw a party and say, come, come, I found it. And then you have this woman, right, who the 10 coins and then lost the coin and then lit the lamp, sweep the house. A lot of meaning. We don't talk about it very, very carefully. All these are very important things in seeking sinners. We need training on these things. Okay, then she found it. Call together friends and neighbors again and say, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin I lost. In the same way, I'll tell you, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner repenting. One person, just one. Heavens is doing somersaults. The angels are going crazy over one. What joy in the heavens when one person enter into Jubilee. Amen. One. I say one. Come and rejoice with me. Am I right? And that rejoice is not just I found Christ, but I helped someone find Christ. This morning, the brothers call me Dr. Joy. Okay, this Dr. Joy this morning is going to tell you about the greatest joy there is. And that is not just you finding joy, but you helping someone else, a lost one, to find joy. Amen. That way, your joy will be made full. In John 4:15, the Lord talked about bearing fruit, right? Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes it away and so on. So abide in me that you would, right, bear fruit. Then what does it say? So that your joy would be made full. That means you have joy. But that joy is not full yet. Until you bear that fruit. Then you have full joy. Then we come to the prodigal. Now this is a, talk about a party. This is classic party, okay? The father, whoa, I mean, of course, the story about him squandering everything and coming back. And when he came back, the father was very, very evidently had been waiting on the porch or something like that. And seeing him a long way off, saw him move with compassion. He must be smelly, stinky, dirty, disheveled, emaciated, the whole thing, right? Just looked like a beggar. But the father saw him move with feeling, compassion, ran, the only place they talk about God running, and fell on his neck and kissed this dirty guy affectionately. And then before he was trying to, father, shut up. The father said to the slaves, bring the best robe. He began to adorn him, cover him, beautify him, put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. We all know that's Christ and so on. Slaughter it. Let him eat. Let us eat and be merry. For because this son of mine was dead and lives again, he was lost and has been found. And they began to be merry. And the oldest son, who got jealous and drew near to the house, he heard what? Music and dancing. I believe the father was dancing too. I think he took the lead to dance probably. So at least one place by implication, God dances. And there's music. There's music. Okay, this is real Jubilee. And he said, he told the brother this and that. And then it keeps saying that you know, he got jealous. And, you know, I've been working for you and this and that, and you never gave me anything, did anything, say anything. he said, you have never even given me a goat, huh? A goat. The goat wouldn't like him anyway. I don't think so. That I might be merry with my friends and so on, okay? Da-da-da-da-da, and the son living with harlots and this and that. And then the father said, child, you're always with me, so all is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice because this brother of yours, he was dead. He came to life and he was lost and has been found. Brothers, there is a very high possibility that you and I have been, who were once prodigals and who had returned, today have become the other son. We didn't leave. We stuck around in the recovery for 40 years. But now we have become that son, that good son. With a long face, filled with jealousy, telling, say, hey, I've been faithful to the recovery. I never left. I'm serving. I'm doing all this and that. And now you don't care for me. You don't even give me a goat, right? Now you go and just be happy with this dirty brother of mine who squandered your everything and got in trouble, messed everything up. Now you are throwing a party for him. You never throw one for me. And now the father said, what? We have to be merry and rejoice. This brother of yours, he was dead and coming to life. He was lost and he's been found. This tells us, brothers, there's something about the maintenance of joy. I feel this is very important. The recovery, I don't like to see the recovery becoming a recovery full of this other son. Faithful, working tirelessly, serving the Father, but not merry and dancing. But at least the father was not merry and dancing. The father's heart is not so much with this son. That doesn't mean he didn't care. The father's heart is pounding, beating for the lost son who is not here, who needs to come home, who needs to come back, the sinner, the seeker, the saint who has left. That's where the Father's heart is. And only when the Father is merry and glad will we be merry and glad. Amen. And brothers, I would like to tell you now my burden. My burden for the Lord's recovery in the USA. And let me just speak about Northern California. Today, our need in order to re-enter the Jubilee, I will tell you, it's not good enough that we just come back to Christ. We get some release from our oppression. We come back to the family. I tell you today, there's one burden on my heart for Northern California, and that is to bring many prodigals home. Amen. To find the lost in society, in our communities, amongst our relatives, on the campuses, of all kinds of people, all classes in society, all manners, those who are stinking, those who are smelly, those who have lost everything, those who are in bondage of sin, those who are sinners. The Lord keep using the word sinners. These are not good people. They are not righteous people. They're bad people. They failed. They messed up their lives. They're not happy. They may be making six-figure money, but inwardly they're broken. The Lord's word in Luke 4 talk about what? Four kinds of people. Number one, the poor. Am I right? The second one, the enslaved, the bound. Number three, the blind, the blind. And number four, the oppressed. That's the prodigal. And they're all around us. You just walk on the street. They're all around. They're all around us in Silicon Valley. They're all around us in this rich Bay Area. Talk about Tesla. You think Elon Musk is happy man? Do you see the news about him lately? I think he's on the way to. The bondage of owning Tesla. You have to crank out that Model E to keep up your stock prices. The value of your company will drive anybody crazy. Talk about oppression. Talk about bondage. One of the richest men on earth. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, people come here still looking for gold, you know. San Francisco in Chinese translation is the old mountain of gold, because the Chinese start coming here to find gold, to become gold diggers in the 1800s. Whether you find gold or you don't find gold, you still be depressed just the same. Brothers and sisters, people today need the Jubilee. Amen. And we know the Jubilee. We have the Jubilee. And we should live in the reality of this Jubilee. But this morning, I want to tell the churches in Northern California, tell you brothers first, the biggest burden in my heart is that we need to proclaim this Jubilee. Amen. And bring in the sinners, the seekers, the lost saints, bring them home. Those who are dead, make them alive. Those who are lost, find them, put them, go after them, put them on your shoulders. And I tell you, you will come back rejoicing. Amen. Isn't there a something in Psalms about bringing in the sheaves? We have a song, right? We come, we go with what it says. We go with weeping, with tears. Am I right? And we come back with joy. I'm so burdened. I would like to say right now, the main need of the churches in Northern California is this, is to bring in people, is to save people, is to bring people to the Jubilee. And not just continue in a church life that is just mutual celebration. Week after week, we see the same face and we mutually congratulate one another how great Jubilee is, when thousands out there wanted that Jubilee and we're not there telling them about it, bringing them to this Jubilee. And don't think that people are not open to Jubilee. Every single human being in their heart wants this Jubilee. The world is, the happy index is the lowest ever. You know, they said when this so-called happy index, the countries that are happiest, they said Denmark. Or some Scandinavian countries. Recently, I found they totally debunked that. Totally not. You go to a Scandinavian country, a bunch of depressed people. Yeah? No, seriously. And they say it's in Bhutan or some Himalayan countries. I don't know. But, brothers, Jubilee is the present day news. The good tidings. So, saints, how about this? You ask, what is the next step for Northern California churches? What is the future? What is our plan? In a way, I don't care what plan. In a way, I don't care what. I just care 3,000 saints all are stirred up, living in the Jubilee, and day in, day out, just burdened for one thing, to bring one more sheep, to find one more coin, to bring back one more prodigal. How about this?
Amen.
Come and rejoice with me.
Amen.
So sing. When you sing, look, the last verse of all of this is to speak this note of cheer. Proclaim it far and near. Where misery sorrows found, human sorrows found, where misery abounds. I will admit, I took this inspired by Fanny Crosby song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying, something about the human, what? Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter. What a wonderful hymn writer. What is it? What else? Feeling lies buried, right? Grace can restore, and then what? Touched by a loving heart. That is your heart and my heart. And what? Wakened by kindness. Your compassion. The Father had compassion. Cords that are broken will vibrate once more. There are so many broken instruments out there. So many smoking flax. So many broken reeds. Which the Lord will not break, the Lord will not throw away. I don't even want to use the term gospel preaching because that sounds like a work. That sounds like a burden. I want us all to have this feeling within us. I feel the churches here, and in fact, all the churches in North America would have a change. This morning, in the morning, I woke up early in the bed. I just feel this way. I just felt this way. And that is from the individual saint to individual saint to the collective church, even the churches. These days, we need a heart transplant. From a heart that has no compassion, a little compassion, from a heart that is not for others, for men, for sinners, for souls, for the lost. A heart that is void of love. You know, it just came to me, this simple verse, John 16, where does it all begin? God so loved. It all begin with the love in the heart. That's where it all begins. Gospel preaching is not a job. It's not some kind of a work or campaign. It begins in the heart, a heart like Fanny Crosby described. And we've lost that heart. We don't have enough of that heart. We have all the truth, the highest truth, the best truth, the peak truth, bar none in the Christian world. In the Christian world. And the things that I've shown to us, the things that we can speak to one another, are things of the highest order of theology. We see God, we know God's dispensation, we know God's dispensing, we know God's economy, we know all this wonderful truth, we know all this wonderful interpretation in the Old Testament. We just had one in Leviticus. We are just up to the brim here, up to here with riches. But there's something wrong with the picture. Terribly wrong with the picture. While we're doing this, we're just telling one another week after week, prophesying to one another, which I know already. I don't need you to prophesy to me one more time, because I can prophesy the same to you. in a kind of a mutual congratulation when people are dying. People are lost, brothers. People are unhappy. And we're here celebrating how wonderful things are. I tell you, that joy cannot continue. It's not sustainable. A certain habit has been built up among us that is self-absorbed, self-concerned. Will I be an overcomer? I ask the brothers. Will I make it into the kingdom? Am I growing in life? I'm not saying these are illegitimate, okay? Of course, I'm for this. We all need to grow. We all need to overcome. But I tell you, too much of that is another form of self-centeredness. In a way, that's why I contrast the two sons. This son is busily trying to be the good son. One day he's going to take over the dad's business. He's faithful. He's overcoming, you know, this son. He's doing all the right things. And here's this down and out sinner. Where is the father? Didn't throw him a party or give him a goat, right? The father's heart is totally with the one who's not here, who's not around. Churches, where is your heart? We can still keep going week by week in a mutual celebration church life. It's good. But I think it's time for us to look out. Take the eyes of our navel gazing, I call it. How am I growing? Navel gazing. Turn your eyes, not just upon Jesus. Turn your eyes to the lost, the sheep, the one sheep. The 99 are okay. He even left the 99. You think he didn't care for the 99? Because the 99 are okay. That one is lost. The one is lost. And he cared for that one, not the 99. Then he threw a party for that one. Only one in the heavens will be full of merriment. Individually, brothers, we need a heart transplant. Collectively, the church needs a corporate heart transplant. From being burdened for ourselves, our condition, our improvement, to be burdened for someone else's welfare, spiritual welfare. I tell you, if we are not like this, we can have the best structure in the church. We can have the best ways, called the God-ordained way. It won't work. It won't work. Until there's a heart change. We need to be spending time, my brothers. Not just pursuing Christ ourselves, but to help people to know Christ. Amen. And help them to pursue Christ. Amen. And help them to gain Christ. Amen. And I tell you, if you do that, you don't need to pray to overcome. You will overcome. Amen. Brother Lee, in 1975, gave us training, and I benefited greatly from that training. We just moved to Orange County, and immediately, the whole point of moving to Orange County, to the suburb, is to gain people. That's why he started the ministry station in Orange County Fairgrounds to give the Genesis life study to gain people. Didn't quite work out, because at that time, we were just under this rebellion, just before the rebellion, those rebellion seeds are being sown, and then the rebellion erupted, so that didn't quite happen. But that was the purpose. And he gave some training. Today, I have some of these books that I have to recommend to you, the first few chapters, at least, of the young people's training. There are two particular chapters. One actually is the basis, half of the basis of the last message in the Jubilee Conference on the proclamation of Jubilee from Acts 26, the Apostle Paul's commission from the Lord on the way to Damascus on those seven items. And Brother Lee's point is that if you want to present this to people, you yourself have to experience those seven things. Amen. Remember that? Yes. That was there in one of the messages in the young people's training. The other one is called fruit bearing being the highest form of gospel preaching. The way is not campaigning, stadium this or that. It is one fruit at a time. Every branch would bear fruit in a way of life, in a laboring way. Then you have that book, The Normal Way of Fruit Bearing and Shepherding, is that the name? That is a must read, and that was Brother Lee's training. And in that book, the main help Brother Lee that I remember gaining was that for all of this, it starts with the problem of your disposition. He said, your disposition is not a people-loving disposition. Your disposition is not a warm disposition. It's cold. It's steely. It's unfeeling. Your disposition is not a flexible disposition. Everything has to be according to your way. You cannot gain people. Your disposition is not an approachable disposition. Rather, it's cold. It is unapproachable. He worked on us. Then he also worked on, because I remember these things like yesterday. He talked about he gave us assignments. This week, go back and start writing down names on a piece of paper of people that you know and start praying for them. And next week, I'm going to check and I'm going to ask actually for names. Don't just tell me I did it. Brother Lee said, I want names. Amen. We were like this, you know. I was a 20-something. Yeah. And that kind of speaking greatly, greatly helped. And combined with those two things in my personal life, the Lord hand touched me to expose within me that you are consecrated, you are absolute, you are given, you are 1,000% for the Lord's recovery, you are ready to serve, but man, you don't have a heart. You are like that tin man in the Wizard of Oz. Open, there's nothing there. You're beautiful. You're a gem. You're good for the museum. But you're heartless. I'm not talking to you. I'm telling you the Lord spoke to me directly. And if you don't have a heart, forget about it. Forget about it. The Lord spoke to me. Because my business is all about people. Your business is about doing things for me. My heart is all on people. And if you don't have my heart, forget about it. It was like that. It was the speaking to me was like that. And that was brought out especially because Brother Lee was in Genesis on the name change of Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. You remember those changed names about the change of the person? Abram is the exalted father. And Abraham is the father of the multitude. Sarai means my princess. Me, beautiful princess. And Sarah just means princess. Those living messages from Genesis spoke to me. And I was in a crisis. I was in a crisis. I could not go on. I knew I could not go on in the church life. All this combined speaking. And the Lord, thankfully, began a merciful work personally on me, slowly. At least allowing me to realize that I could be outside a best brother. Given, serving, faithful, zealous. But inside, there's not a heart there. It's possible. Serving without heart. And that's mainly serving things, doing things, but not burden for people, for souls. My brothers, today, each one of us need a heart change, heart transplant. And collectively, the church over time, and I'm not saying every case like this, that's too much to say. I'm saying just in very general terms, we have a church life that is full of truth. I would even say, in a way, we even have life, even life. But a heart for men is absent. The church should be blood washed. Am I right? Spirit regenerated. Right? Christ centered. Right? But I tell you, the church must be people burdened. It's almost 10:30. We have to end there. Right? So you forgive me, brothers. This morning I'm a lot of feeling. And I'm not scolding you. I'm not here mad at you. I think you know that. I love all of you. And I thank the Lord for what he has done in these last few years, even to bring us to this point. It's wonderful. It is a great, great thing what the Lord has done. But you ask me the question, now what next? We've just been through 5 years from 2014. Right? What about the next 5 years, you may ask? Well, I expect the Jubilee. Amen. But practically, what does that mean? Brothers, I would start with this. We need a reorientation Amen. Of our church life with a new heart and a new attitude and a new purpose. Amen. We still love the Lord. We still pursue him. We still have to fellowship with the Lord. We still need to read the word. We still need to be in the ministry. We need to grow. We need to be more constituted. We still need to very much build up our meeting life. I'll say something more in the next session so that our meeting life is full, satisfying the Lord whom we worship, and also being a real container, right? Attractive to men, and also a real container for though the Lord has gained. All of this, yes, we need to do all of this. But my deepest concern is there need to be a change of heart. We must be a people-centered recovery. I told you about Hank Hanegraaff last time, right? Hank Hanegraaff. Oh, by the way, I just got an email And we should praise the Lord for this, that our brother, our friend, Hank, his clinical trials for his cancer is working. He just did his PET scan and CAT scan and all this that shows tumor is shrinking, and he is evidently recovering from a very bad case of cancer. So we thank the Lord for this. So he was 6 days with us in Anaheim in the summer in the Leviticus training, every meeting. He was in a study group with some brothers. Bible answer man, right? He's having Bible studies with our brothers every morning. And he said, in those meetings, he is just overwhelmed. He was just subdued. He said, what you have is what the world, what Christiana, what the Christians need today. And this man has his hand on the pulse of seeking Christians because of his program, Bible Answer Man program. He said this. Then he said, how come no one knows what you're doing? What are you talking about? He asked the question. And that just pierced my heart, because I have to agree with him. We have all this, but how come nobody knows about it? How come not more people are here enjoying it? Well, then you say that's the Lord's job. No, it's not the Lord's job. You say it's the co-worker's job. No, it's not the co-worker's job. It's the job of the churches with all the saints. So I feel the depth of the matter is not just changing our structure, not just changing our way, even the so-called God-ordained way. The first thing is a transformed heart, a changed attitude, a new orientation. And this particular purpose that is in all of us all the time. Amen. And that is to reach out with this Jubilee message that the Lord has given us that no one knows, and tell it. And people will respond to it. Amen. And they will want it. Amen. Not everyone, but many will. The chosen ones will. These particular lost one will. How did that prodigal even have the thought of returning? I tell you, something is working in the heart. They will. The last 5 years, from 2014 until now, we have, according to statistics, zero increase among all the churches in Northern California. Zero. By Lord's Day count, last 5 years. So maybe I should leave, because I came after 5 years, nothing happened. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe if I'm not here, you will get some increase. I don't know. But brothers, I'm not just here for some numbers, you know, put it on the charts. But numbers don't lie. Numbers tell us something. This is what caused Brother Lee unable to sleep in his latter years. I will tell you that. This is what it is. He tried this. He tried that. I'm not saying that none of us are caring for people, none of us are preaching the gospel. I'm not even saying that. Many of us are burdened and doing things on the campus and this and that. I'm only speaking to a general, more pervasive situation. I'm here to diagnose. And diagnosis is always not very kind and very pleasant. And I'm not here even doing superficial diagnosis and then just give you some pills and some prescription. It's in the heart. I like, how about even these 4 weeks, while we are into these those messages, not only the saints will enter into the Jubilee themselves, but at the same time, even with these songs and with all these things, bring in this matter. And we ourselves pray for this matter. Pray for the heart of the Lord's recovery. Pray for the compassion, the kindness, the burden for people. The saints, they don't need to bring in hundreds. If each saint will be burdened for a few, their relatives, their friends, their neighbors. And not even every year, every 2 years, they will bring in a remaining fruit. Or every 3 years, they will bring in a remaining fruit. And let's say not every saint. Let's say half of the saints. Let's say a third of the saints. Let's say a quarter of the saints would do this. Our situation would be different. And pretty soon, we don't hear, just push the gospel. You know, stir up the gospel. Gospel is in our heart.
Amen.
We live the gospel.
Amen.
Every week, last time I mentioned, the saints would take 1 or 2 hours, reclaiming the rest of Sunday, of Sunday that we have lost, and just go and contact people.
Amen.
And in the church life, Brother Lisa, first exhortation to us leading brothers is come early to the meeting and leave late. To do what? To contact the saints.
Amen.
Don't contact people that are good. Don't contact people that are okay. Look for strangers. Look for stinky, smelly kind. Look for those who are in need, sitting in the back. Look for the blind, the oppressed, the enslaved, and the poor. Look for them. That is an elder's job. And then soon you yourself will enter into that kind of living. And the whole church will follow you. You know, a church follows the disposition of the leaders. Okay, I better stop here.